This is January 7th, Courageous Living, Day 1. Okay, now, we are recording. Good morning, tape recorder. Okay, so what we're going to do today is talk about what I refer to as the inner enemy, the enemy within anxiety or worry. Either word is going to be okay, anxiety or worry. So let's read Philippians 4, 6 through 9. This is a familiar passage. Many of you know this very well. Some of you have this on your little Bible plaques at home, up on your wall, and you are so familiar with it, and yet how many of us live this? So that's why I like to teach on this every once in a while, because it smacks me upside the head. And just so you know, oftentimes God has used whatever the scripture is first to convict me, and then I get to convict you. So that's the fun of this in some ways. So when you get to verse 6 in Philippians 4, you're reading Philippians. It's a wonderful book. It's a very enjoyable book. It talks about the joy of living as brothers and sisters in Christ, the great freedom we have in Christ. And you get to chapter 4, and everything's going great until you hit up against verse 6. And you read verse 6, and someone will read that for me. You have two translations there. New Living Translation is the first one on the top. New International Version is the second one. We're going to be kind of going back and forth between the two. I don't mind if you want to use either one. If you want to ignore the other one, that's fine. But I wanted both translations there. Because you get to verse 6, somebody read it out of New Living for me, and then somebody else read it out of NIV. Let's have Karen Burhans read the New Living.
That's the one I like.
And maybe another Karen in the room can read verse out of the NIV.
Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done.
Did you catch that first phrase? Don't worry about
anything.
I don't know about you, but at that point, I want to close my Bible and go, sorry, God, can't do that one. I guess I'm done. The NIV says, do not be anxious about
anything.
And once again, at that point, I close my Bible and go, because this is not a suggestion. Did you catch that? This is not a, if you feel like it, or if you're feeling strong today.
It's an order.
It's an order. It's a command. Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so this is directly from God, through the Apostle Paul, is saying, don't worry about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. I don't know about you, but at that point I'm going, I can't do that. I cannot do that. But the Bible never gives us a command without telling us how to keep that command. God doesn't do that to us. He's not a fickle God that says, I want you to jump off the top of buildings and fly around like a bird, flapping your arms. Because we can't do that, right? Gravity works, and whether you like it or not, you're going to fall and splat yourself on the cement. So God never gives you a command that you cannot obey. Even though it feels like that, He always gives you a command and then He shows you how to obey it, how to follow, how to do it. So we're told not to be anxious or to be worried, and then we're told how to go about doing that. But first of all, what is it to be anxious or to worry? What is that? Explain that to me. And those of you who are really smart right now are looking down going, did he give us background? Ooh, there it is, number one, there it is. And you can look all smart and read that out loud, and somebody thinks, wow, she's really on the ball.
It means maybe you don't trust God that He'll take care of you.
Yes, it can mean a lack of trust of God. It can definitely mean that.
It's a feeling of a lack of control.
It is, Karen. Thank you. A feeling of lack of control. What else?
Number one, it says, anxious or worried or self-centered, unproductive thinking. It may not even be a valid concern, but rather than dwelling on things that are beyond our control.
Dwelling on things that are beyond our control. You think about that definition for a moment. Now, this is, we got to distinguish something, though, because concern is a good thing. Concern is a good thing. If you have a sick friend, you're concerned about them. You want them to get better. You want to connect them to medical care. You want to take them soup. You want to, if it motivates you to action and there's something you can actually do to make the situation better, concern is a good thing, right? That's a very good thing. And sometimes concern will motivate you to action, and that's a good thing. If you see me walking out in front of a car, I sure hope you're concerned enough to yell and scream and throw something at me so I don't get hit, right? This is providing Lansing is distracted eating some dog food or something. But concern is a good thing. If it motivates you to action and you have the power to actually do something about it, even if it's just pray, that's a good thing. So concern is motivating. That's a good thing. Worry, anxiety, how's it different than concern? Worry and anxiety is when you have nothing you can do. You're out of control, nothing you can do. And it's sort of that self where you get kind of stuck in that loop where you just you don't actually do anything about it. You just worry and worry and worry and have more anxiety. Does that make sense?
Brian?
Yes.
I don't know who it's from, but one of my favorite quotes is, worry is the interest you pay when you borrow trouble.
Nah. Worry is the interest you pay when you borrow trouble. And if you think about it, what we often do is we regret the past. You can't do anything about the past, right? It's the past. You can't do anything about it. Or we worry about the future. And either one, we can't do anything about it. There's nothing we can do. Now, being concerned for the future and saving money and preparing and planning, and those are good things, as long as you don't let it go too far and stretch into worry and anxiety. That's where we get ourselves in trouble. Because Jesus tells us, essentially, to stay in the moment, stay in today. And if you have some things from the future that motivate you to plan now, that's okay. Just don't get too focused and too stressed on that future thing, because you can't do anything about it. And if there's things from the past that motivate you to do something today to change the current, present time, that's okay. Just don't get too hung up on worrying about things you can't change from the past. That make sense? It's a command. Do not be anxious about anything. And some of us are looking around the room going, oh, so-and-so, she never worries about anything. She's just always, I guarantee you, everybody worries. Everybody has anxiety. Everybody struggles with this. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a command. It would say to all the women of the world, don't be anxious about anything. Or it would say to all the people over 40, worry. You know, it would be more specific. It would address it to men or women or children or whatever. This is to everybody. So everybody must struggle with this. Now, some people don't appear to worry because they're better actors, perhaps, or you don't know them very well, or there's various reasons. When I preached this passage about 6 months ago, I told the story of how when I go out to that big Kaiser building on Dale Road, the big Kaiser Hospital, I have what's known as white coat anxiety, where I don't know exactly why it happens, probably because I had a lot of surgeries there, I got some bad news there a number of years back. Whenever I'm at that building and they take my blood pressure, it's sky high. It is sky high. When they take my blood pressure at my regular doctor's office, it's fine. When I take it here at church, it's a little higher. But no, I'm just kidding. when I'm at that Kaiser facility, and I will predict it. I kind of have fun with it now with the nurse. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be about 300 over 200 or whatever. And she's like, but you don't seem nervous. You don't look nervous. I'm not. On the outside, I'm not nervous at all. I'm not anxious, I'm not worried, but on the inside, there's something in my screwed up brain that's saying, time to be anxious. And that happens, right? So even if someone doesn't appear anxious or worried, it is a struggle for all of us, okay? If you ever have any questions, please feel free to interrupt. I may ignore you, but I'll try. And if you do this, your hand's going to get really tired, so I'm just saying. I appreciate the courtesy, the respect, but your arm's going to get really tired, so don't do that. So I don't mind if someone has a question, feel free. I'll ask for questions every now and then, but all right. So the command, we all get that. How do we keep it? What's the next phrase in the verse? So do not be anxious about anything. Do not worry.
Pray about everything.
Pray about everything. Pray about something? No, pray about everything. The NIV says by prayer and petition. The NLT clarifies that by saying, pray about everything, tell God what you need. That's what a petition is. A petition is a specific list of requests. Here's what I need, God. Here's what I want. Here's what I'm struggling with. That's how specific you need to get. It's not just, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. That's a fine prayer. That's fine. But you need to go beyond that and be specific with God. Prayer is your secret weapon against anxiety. Actually, it's not so secret. It's your weapon. It's a very powerful weapon. You, as a child of God, get to go into God's very presence and pour out your heart. Pour out your whatever's going on. You're able to do that. You have this amazing access to God. You can go before God anytime, any place, anywhere. You don't have to bow down. You don't have to kneel. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. You don't have to put on your best dress and your beautiful pearls and do your hair and your makeup. No, you can just go into God's presence anytime you want and speak. and share what's going on. That's number one to keep this command, to not be anxious, to not worry. First and foremost is prayer. That's obviously a nice thing to say at church, but how do we actually do that in our real life? I think we don't pray because most of us either don't understand prayer, or we don't think it works, or we forget that we have this incredible access. God wants you to come into his presence, and some of us feel like we're not worthy of that, but the reality is the Bible says we are. Make sense? I'm not going to go into a big discussion of prayer because we have lots of teaching on that, but I've done some great study on that in the last couple years, and I've learned a lot. And I think sometimes we pray, we don't pray because we're sometimes not sure God is actually listening, but he is. He hears everything that we pray, and even when God says no or not yet, he is listening and he cares. So pour out your heart through prayer. That's number one to keep this command, to not be anxious. What's the second way?
Tell God what you need.
Oh, yeah, we tell God we need. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So prayer is both prayer and petition. That kind of all is one big category. Prayer is the general category. Petition is the specific request. Every time you talk to God, it's prayer. Sometimes you're going to praise him. Sometimes other things. When you give that specific list, that's a petition. That's a more specific kind of prayer, but it's all prayer. Then as you pray, the next thing to do, the other side of the coin, these are two things to do together. They're two sides of the same coin. They cannot be and should not be ever separated. Because when you pray, what's the other part of prayer? Being thankful. Why do those two things work? What happens when you pray and what happens when you're thankful?
It balances,
yes. And have you ever noticed that when you pray, say I'm really anxious about taking a flight. Tomorrow I'm flying to Boise, Idaho. And let's say I'm really nervous about flying. What happens when I focus on flying? Oh, what if the plane, what if there's a part broken? What if the pilot's drunk? What if the weather's bad? What if a bird hits the engine? What if the, and how many what ifs can we come up with? 1,000,005. I mean, we can come up with like skabillions. But what happens when we do that? We focus on the worry. What do? You spiral downwards, don't you? Does that help anxiety get better?
No.
What does it do? It makes it worse. The more you focus on it, the worse it gets. Now, if you pray, and if you're thankful, then what happens? You change your focus. The focus changes. No longer are you focused on the millions of things that could go wrong, and oh my gosh, I'm like, it's okay, wait a minute, God. You're there for me. You're in control. You love me. And even if something really bad happens, I'm going to heaven with you, or you're going to secure me through it, and you'll get me well, or whatever. We'll land in nowhere, Oregon, and everything will be fine, whatever. You trust God. That's what prayer can do, is reaffirm the trust. Or you're thankful, and all of a sudden you're remembering, oh, God has answered so many prayers. God is so there. I have so many blessings. Oh, my gosh, I can. And it changes your perspective. That's why it works, because it changes your perspective. And your eyes go off of yourself, off of your situation, whatever's causing that anxiety and that worry. Your focus goes off of that onto God. And it's always a good thing to put your focus on God, because then that reminds you, oh yeah, God's in control. I'm not. I have this weird thing before a trip, and it's already starting. I can feel it inside me. 24 hours from now, I'll be leaving Modesto, heading for Boise, Idaho. My wife's grandfather passed away, and we're going up for memorial and the funeral. He passed away in October, but they're doing the burial on Friday. But 24 hours before a trip, I go into what I refer to as cyclone mode, where I'm just trying to think of everything I have to do before I leave. Everything has to be, all laundry has to be done, the house has to be cleaned, I have to make sure all my work is taken care of at Centenary, I got to close out everything, I got to make sure that the mail is stopped, the garbage is taken out, and I have to make sure I pack, and don't forget anything, and make sure I have everything for Lansing, and his toys, and his food, and I go into this like 24 hours of crazy mode, right? And my wife laughs at me and makes fun of me, but that's what I do. I don't know why, it's just what I do. The moment I get into the car to head for the airport, do you know what happens?
Relax.
I go, why? Because I'm not in control from that point on. Whether we hit traffic, whether the flight's delayed, whether the security takes too long, I don't have any control over that at all. And I know that. And so I just kind of go, okay, I'm relaxed. And I'm able to hand it to God and just go, okay. Or hand it to people driving the car or flying the plane or whatever it is. Now, airports should bring me anxiety. I can't see. So for me to get around an airport, Well, especially when I'm flying by myself, I have to hand myself off to strangers, total strangers. First, the guy that checks my luggage at the curb. I got to trust him to send it to the right place, right? Then I got to trust a helper person that the airport provides to walk me. I have to hold onto their elbow. Lansing's not much helper in the airport. He can't read the signs, you know? He's great, but he hasn't learned to read yet. And then I have to go through security, and that's always a little interesting with a guide dog. And then I have to go, you know, trust the person that helped me maybe get a bottle of water or whatever. Trust that they took me to the right gate. Trust that that gate agent will remember to come get me to get me on the flight. Trust that I'm on the right flight. Trust that the pilot, you know what I mean? Do you see how many things I have? Now, that should cause me a lot of stress. Why doesn't it? Because I've learned over the years to let that go. I have no control. And in situations where you don't have any control, let it go. Trust God and just go, okay, well, you know, if something bad happens, God, you'll give me the strength to handle that. That's one example that I've learned. There's not many of those, but there's a few where I've learned how to let go and not worry and stress and have anxiety. That one took me a while, but now it's not so bad to travel because I'm very relaxed. I enjoy it because I'm not worried about every little detail. So I don't know if that makes sense to you, but that's one life lesson that I'm experiencing right now where I have learned to relax and trust God. And that really helps. Scripture goes on, doesn't it? So don't be anxious about anything. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, what should we do? Present your request to God. That's pray. Pray about everything. Okay. So what's going to happen? So I choose to obey this command. God, help me to obey this command. How am I going to do that? I'm going to pray. And how am I going to pray? I'm going to be specific with God. I'm going to list out these things that I'm concerned about. I'm not going to just be all general Our Father who art in heaven prayer. I'm going to be very specific. I'm going to share with God what I'm worried about, what I'm anxious about. And I'm not going to be embarrassed by that. God doesn't judge you on what you're worried about. You may judge yourself. Others may judge you. Why are you worried about whether they'll come out with a new color of Oreo? Come on, that's not important. But maybe that's a big concern to you. Why are you worried about the weather or the whatever? If it's a concern to you, it's a concern to God. Share it. It's fine. There are no trivial concerns when it comes to God. Others may judge you. God will not. Does that make sense? Whatever causes you anxiety, pray about it. Even if you think it's ridiculous. Even if someone else would think it's ridiculous. Don't worry about that. Pray about it. Once you've done that, then you're thankful. Okay, God, let me remind myself. What have you done? What prayers have you answered? What blessings do I experience? Let me start listing those. Oh my gosh, count my blessings. Count them every one. Okay, now, what takes place? Verse 7. Someone want to read both translations from. Let's go back to the Karens, because I like Karen from lots of Karens. So, Karen Burhans, verse 7 in NLT. Karen Moore, verse 7 in NIV.
Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which transcends all other things, will guard your hearts in the minds of Jesus Christ.
Okay. And the peace of God. Okay, so we're going to get to defining this peace in just a minute. But do you notice that I'm off the hook a little bit here? I don't have to explain to you the entirety of the peace of God. Why not? Because look at that. What that verse says. The peace of God transcends our understanding. It goes beyond our understanding. You cannot fully grasp the peace of God. That's how amazing it is. It's kind of like the love of God. As much as we talk about it, and as much as we sing about it, and study it, and pray about it, we can't fully understand how much God loves us. It goes beyond your comprehension. Just like your love for your children or grandchildren or your friends or your spouse goes beyond your comprehension. There's never an end to that. Similar, the love of God. Similar, the peace of God. So you can't fully explain or understand the peace of God. So don't make me try. Because you can't and I can't get the full grasp of it. But we know it's amazing and we know it's going to help us. What do you hear when I say the peace of God? What do you hear? What do you see in your mind? What images come to your mind? The peace of God. What do you see? What do you hear?
Rest.
Yes, very much. Rest. What else?
I hear security.
Okay, we're going to get to that. Security in a moment.
I hear it now.
What else?
Comfort.
Comfort, yes. You may think of peace as the absence of conflict. The absence of conflict, rest, a beautiful lake, a quiet mountain scene, a quiet, beautiful meadow of flowers, your home with no one there. And you're all going, ooh, that would be really nice. The sanctuary. Go, if you ever get the chance, go into our sanctuary sometime and just sit. And it's amazing how peaceful, because that space is set apart for worship of God. Not much else is going to happen in there. And it's amazing what that place feels like. It's the absence of chaos and conflict and noise. And think about, so the peace of God is the absence of conflict. Yes, that's usually what we think of. But it's also the presence of strength. It's not just the absence of conflict. It's the presence of strength. So now think of that beautiful meadow and you're in the middle of these flowers and how beautiful it is and how quiet it is. And there's a mighty lion. Aslan, the lion, is standing there guarding you and helping you, making sure no one gets you. Or you're home alone in that beautiful, quiet, tranquil place, and there's armed guards standing at all the doors to make sure nobody gets in, and a high-tech security system to make sure nothing gets in. It's the presence of strength. I think both aspects are incredibly important, because we often just think of the peace as the absence of conflict, and that's fine, that's good, but there's so much more to it. Because look what the peace of God does in verse 7. What is it just a, oh, I feel better now. Thanks, God, I feel better. Thank you so much. Oh, I just feel so nice and blessed and rest. Da, 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 da. Obviously, with my voice, that's okay. But there's more to it than that. Because what does verse 7 promise you? That the peace of God will
guard.
It's a very active Greek word that means guard, just so you know. Protect. Secure. There's a strength there. The peace of God will do something for you. It won't just make you feel better. Yes, it'll do that, but it'll also guard you. Guard you against what? Guard you against what? Because obviously, when there's a guard, there has to be something to guard against, right? Back to the bit verse 6. Your worry and anxiety. Because what happens when we worry and anxiety? It takes us down into this vicious spiral of negativity, of stress, of physical reactions. You know, we can have all sorts of physical manifestations of stress and worry and anxiety. And it just spirals us into this horrible place, right? But if you pray and are thankful, God's peace will guard you against more stress and worry. Does that make sense? Guard your heart and your mind. So when your mind gets going, God's peace will stop that and say, nope, nope, nope. Guard your heart. That's your emotions. Guard your emotions and your thoughts. But some of you, and did you notice that there's no, it's not a conditional thing. It's not a, God's peace may guard your hearts and minds, or should, or occasionally does, or sometimes. What's the word?
Will.
It's a promise. If you follow this command, if you try to obey this command with prayer and thankfulness, God's peace will guard your hearts and minds. It's a promise. But some of you are sitting there going, I've tried that, Brian. I've tried this. I was anxious. I prayed. I was thankful. And it didn't work. And my question to you is always, are you still trying it? Are you still praying? Are you still thankful? Because I know me, for years, I did this as if it was a one-time thing. Like, I bought my membership, God. I paid my insurance. I did it. You know, I bought my Costco membership. Now it should work every time I walk in. It should be automatic. I should never have worry or stress again. It doesn't work like that. It's an ongoing thing. So if you pray and are thankful and later, 5 minutes later, 2 minutes later, the anxious thought pops back in your head and you start worrying again, what should you do?
Pray
and be thankful. You know, that famous lather, rinse, repeat, you know, that idea. It's the idea that you keep on praying and thankful. God's peace will guard your hearts and minds, and that's a promise you can take to the bank, but you got to attempt to follow the command and trust Him. And it's not a one-time thing where you have done it once and then it's going to protect you for the next, you know, it's not a insurance payment where I've paid my insurance, now I'm good for the next year. You know, I've bought that membership, it gets me in the door for the next year. It's not like that. It's not a subscription, it's a daily prescription. You take your medicine every day, right? Those little pills you have to take every day. You don't just take one pill and it's good for the next 6 years. That'd be great, but it doesn't work like that most times. Questions, comments? And you notice how all this is only possible at the end of verse 7? What makes all of this possible? Because you're in Christ Jesus. because Jesus is in your life, because you are saved by grace through Jesus Christ, all this is available to you. If you try to do this in your own strength, it ain't going to work. If you try just by your own willpower, I'm not going to worry this year. That's right, my New Year's resolution. I am not going to worry anymore. How long is that going to last? Yeah, good luck on that. Those of you with a lot of willpower may make it to January 8th, but let the first bad thing come with the mail, or let the first, our own willpower only takes us so long. The Holy Spirit's power is limitless, and God will help you to do this. That's what it's all about. You're in Christ Jesus. You have a limitless reserve of God's helping you. His peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Because you're in Christ now, you don't have to worry. We choose to worry. That's what we do. See, God's peace is always there, actively guarding us and actively bringing us the absence of conflict and the presence of strength. But what we tend to do is go, okay, God, thanks a lot. I'm going to go over here and worry for a while because I want to be back in control. God doesn't move away from us. We move away from Him. His peace is always there. We disconnect ourselves from it. Why do we do that? Because we're stupid, for number one, but because we like to be in control. We enjoy that. And there's something about worry where I'm in control. At least I think I am. It's the illusion of control. It's a myth. It's a lie. We're not actually in control, but we think we are. And really, when you think about it, that's what worry ends up being. Is I got to figure out something I can do about this. And God's going, no, nothing you can do. Trust me. Pray. Be thankful. Questions, comments? But this is very difficult, in case you haven't known that already. Most of us are going to, this is an ongoing, lifelong struggle. It's one of the great things about heaven. There's no more worry or anxiety. There's no more things that cause worry or anxiety. So this will be a daily battle for you. But if you follow this command, how to obey this command, it does work. My airport example is just one of the areas I've learned this. But this is where courage has to step in and go, that inner fear, that inner poison, that inner enemy is not going to get you. You choose to trust God and have courage. And it takes courage to pray. It takes courage to be thankful on certain days. It is okay to be concerned, obviously. That should motivate you to do something. That's a good thing. But worry and anxiety, that's not good for us. In fact, Paul gives you two more verses of how to go about this. Verse 8 and 9. We'll read them together. The Karens, the Karen Choir, as I'm going to start calling them.
You want both 8 and 9
together? Yeah, read 8 and 9 together, please.
And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you.
And our alto, Karen?
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Okay. Verse 8. Did you notice what the idea is in verse 8? Instead of focusing on the things that are negative, the stressful, anxiety-inducing, worry-causing things, what should you do? You choose your perspective. You choose what you think about. No one tells you what to think about. They can tell you what to do, how to behave. With some of you, that doesn't do any good. You're going to misbehave no matter what we say. But people can tell you your outside actions, but they can't tell you what to think. You choose that. You choose that. So what should you choose, according to verse 8? In fact, the NLT says, fix your thoughts upon, fix your mind upon, right? That's a choice. You're choosing this. Look at that list. Do you see a lot of bad things on that list? So this is the idea of, okay, after you've done verses 6 and 7, you've chosen not to be anxious or worry, I'm going to pray, I'm going to be thankful. Part of what you're thankful for is this list of things. You look at these things, you think of people that have those attributes, maybe places that have those attributes, things that have those attributes, scripture verses that have those attributes, and all of a sudden, where's your focus? It's back on the positive. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is not just a sort of a humanistic sort of thing. This is God saying, when you think about these things, it's going to affect your attitude. It's going to affect your actions. It's going to lift you up instead of pulling you down. It's a choice. It's a very hard choice. But again, don't do this in your own strength. This is, God, help me today to look for the admirable things, the honorable things, the honorable people, these pure and lovely things. Help me, Lord, to find those things in my day. Help me to notice them. And help me to appreciate them. Help me to think about them. Does that make sense? It's a choice, though, you have to make. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, empowered by God. If you think about it, this is what the Bible's all about, is trying to get your perspective to change, your eyes up instead of down. And then verse 9, sometimes it takes a tangible example. It takes somebody in your life. In this case, Paul was in the life of these folks. And what does he say in verse 9? Whatever you learned and received from me. So if you've ever learned anything from me, Paul says. If you've ever received anything, a teaching, an encouraging word, a helpful thought. If you've ever heard or seen from me anything that was positive, useful, helpful, what should you do with it? Put it into practice. Do it. He's saying, okay, so verse 8 is think about it. Verse 9 is do it. And then what's the result at the end of verse 9? The God of peace, not just God's peace. God's peace is going to be very much an act of guard, yes, very much a help to you, but God himself is going to be with you. That's a huge reassurance, right? God is with me is a huge scriptural truth that you should remember every day. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is our favorite psalm for a reason, because it's so comforting and reassuring that even when you're feeling alone or feeling rejected or forsaken or nobody cares and God doesn't care about me, and when you're feeling like that, are those feelings trustworthy? No! God is with me. God is near. God has promised never to leave me or forsake me. So that is a promise I can take to the bank. And even if my feelings are telling me he's not there, that's a bunch of hooey. Don't trust your feelings in those situations. Jesus on the cross, I just preached on this a couple weeks ago, Jesus on the cross felt forsaken. He felt as if God had turned away and left him because of all the sin he was carrying, that God had rejected him. Was that the truth? No. It's just his feelings. God had never left him. God was always there, just like with us. But it takes our choice to acknowledge that. You know, it's our choice to move towards God. God is always there for us. He doesn't move away. Does that make sense? So why is this so hard? Why do we keep having to teach on this? I mean, you've heard this preached before. You have it on your plaques, on your refrigerator magnets. Why is it so hard? Because we're human. Because regardless of how many years you've walked with Jesus, it's still hard some days. Because anxiety is just a part of our daily routine, isn't it? You read the newspaper. You watch the news. You get out of bed. Worry attacks. Yeah, we're really good at it too. Yeah, some of us have become professionals at worrying. I always tease my mom because I have to check in whenever I travel. We have to check in when we leave, check in when we land, because she's so worried. I'm like, you've become a professional at this, because we choose to. Questions, comments?
Well, sometimes you read the things you pray about and they aren't answered.
Yes. Yeah, so when you're anxious, when you're worried about someone, like your friend June, and you pray for her healing, you pray for her full recovery, you pray that God would heal her, and God answers that. He did answer the prayer, yes. He healed her in a way that was best for her, not for us, but best for her. So sometimes when God says what we think, when God says no, or when God says not yet, those are really hard answers, and those tend to want to dwell in us, and then that we hang on to that for the next situation, and then we're all worried even more, and it kind of, and God's saying, no, back to trusting me. Even when I have to say no to what you want, God is always in control. God is always doing what's best in his view at that time. That's hard for us to accept sometimes, but that's where the trust comes into it. And you have to go, okay, God, it may take a while. Trust is not an easy thing. It doesn't happen overnight. You may have to say, okay, God, I do trust you, and I'll keep on walking, even though this is hard for me. I'm going to keep on trusting you. And know that when God says no to those prayers for June to be healed and remain with us, It's for his reasons. And maybe she wouldn't have been the June that we all knew and loved. Maybe she would have never gotten back to that. And that would have been rough on her. I have no idea why. But that's a great point. Sometimes when you have prayed and it hasn't gone the way you want, sometimes that's really tough on us. And that can cause worry and anxiety later, for sure. Other thoughts, comments, questions?
Yeah, sometimes if I can't remember all of these, whatever's noble, whatever's admirable, all of those things as I'm going through my day, I just remember that old phrase, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
It's so comforting to say, okay, I can figure this out, because would Jesus do that?
Right.
That helps.
Just to remember that phrase. Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes you don't have to, we sometimes feel a great pressure to sort of, well, Lord, I have to construct the best prayer, and all these details have to be listed in proper order, and sometimes just God help me. the best prayer is sometimes just help. That's good enough. God doesn't need any flowery words or for you to memorize scripture or anything like that necessarily. It's always good to memorize scripture. If you want a scripture memorized, this one's a pretty great one. Verses 6 and 7 could be an amazing scripture memory if you want to try that out. But yeah, this is the first one in this series because it's the one that I think is requiring the most courage. To live as people who don't worry and don't have anxiety, it takes a lot of courage. But man, does it make a difference. If you choose to start living like this, it will make a huge difference in your life. Because this is the inner enemy. This is the one that gets you no matter what's going on in your daily life. Even if you're just around the house for a day, this enemy will be there. It doesn't take you leaving your house to get anxious, right? You know, anxiety and worry is your daily companion, and it's our choice how to handle that. And the Bible gives us the tools, we just have to use them. Choose to pray, choose to be thankful, choose to remember that peace of God as a very active guard for you. And if it helps you, that's you know, think on those positive things in verse 8 and find a tangible example, someone in your life who is a good example for you to learn from. That always helps. Closing thoughts? I'm actually almost on time. Look at that. Don't get used to that either. So yes, you're going to take a short break and go to your